You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball and The Sports Objective.
You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on The Sports Objective, presented by our good friends, Appreciate Trent and Gaynell Brent. And of course, I'm talking about Next Level Training Center. Just go to nextleveltc.com or you can actually give them a call, 252-756-NEXT. And we appreciate their support of the program. Pirates had a tough weekend, at the office, if you will, as they get swept by the Shockers. Pirates are now 29-11 on obviously being swept on a three-game losing streak. But Bubba, we're looking for them to bounce back tomorrow night in Raleigh, as the Pirates are going to be on the road yet again with our good friends in Raleigh, the Wolfpack.
Yeah, obviously a frustrating weekend, and we'll talk more about it, as well as what was a very good midweek win over Charlotte last Wednesday, as Pirate Nation painted downtown Charlotte in Truist Field purple, nearly 5,000 on hand for that 6-2 victory over the 49ers. I think the best way to describe what happened out in Wichita is it was very disappointing, but not disheartening, because this team, we saw it over the last couple weeks prior to that Wichita State series, the way they had responded to the adversity out in Houston. I think we'll do so once again. Now, there are certainly things that need to be addressed to an extent, you know, and there's things that are just reality as far as some guys being beat up, and that's going to happen when you're 40 games into the season, as we are. But on the whole, yeah, disappointing, but anything but disheartening. I think we'll bounce back and play quality baseball down the stretch and accomplish what we all want to accomplish, and winning a 4-straight conference championship, and obviously also hosting another regional. But definitely have some work to do to accomplish those goals, but everything is within our control.
Yeah, I was going to say the very fact of that every goal that we have is still in front of us, so it's not like that was the end of the regular season and we don't win a title, that kind of thing. There's still a lot of baseball to be played. And, you know, one other thing I was thinking about, Bubba, yesterday is the fact that yesterday afternoon when that was going on is how the baseball season is such an emotional roller coaster, right? Because last week it's so easy to win 4 games and we actually won 9 straight. So you're going, you know, up in the air, you're going straight up, 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 up. And all of a sudden it only takes the doubleheader loss on Saturday to next thing you know, it's like a nosedive. So if you have any questions, comments, put that in for Facebook Live or on YouTube. Then you can put your comments in the comment box and we'll actually talk about that. But hopefully the Pirates, you know, one of the things, Bubba, I notice is for me is that good teams find a way to win. In this particular case, that when you face adversity, teams know how to deal with that, the good teams, that is. And so we'll see how they react to adversity that we've had with the 3-game losing streak in Wichita.
Yeah, with our culture and the fabric of this program, like I said, no cause for concern, just a disappointing weekend. And like I said, there are always things that you want to shore up and improve upon, but definitely 29-11 here, 40 games in. The way we've played on the road, I've heard Coach Godwin address that. I don't know if it's been the lack of an atmosphere at some of these ballparks. You think with Houston, Wichita State, and then also Duke and different places. That's not an excuse. That's right. Something our team has to figure out and bring more energy to the table, as Coach Godwin has referenced in a couple different interviews since the weekend. And it's like a statistic I had looked up. You know, when was the last time that we had been swept in a conference series? You had to go way back to 2018. And obviously that year we hosted a regional. And obviously the last time we'd been swept, period, was the first series of last season when Bryant came in and swept us. But it's such an atypical weekend. You know, it's easy to overreact just because we're spoiled as Pirate baseball fans and just everything that this program has accomplished. It's so unusual to see us get swept, period. But especially in a league series, because it hasn't happened in 5 years. And so you got to keep things in perspective and realize that, like we saw in the top 25 across the board, you had six teams in the top 12 get swept. And overall, the top 25 had a losing record against unranked teams last weekend. So tremendous parity in college baseball. All the credit in the world to Wichita State. Their rotation was tremendous. We've seen how good the East Carolina rotation is. You know, unfortunately, Treya Savage, not at his best, and a very quick hook for, but I think, although quick, I say quick, just in terms of the length of the outing, only 1.2, inning and 2/3 rather, but it was something that was needed. And Coach Godwin said that Trey will quite probably miss his start.
Right.
Against Tulane this weekend, so we shall see. Hopefully he'll be returning the following weekend. I believe it's up at Cincinnati, but it'll be interesting to see how we handle the rotation this weekend. If we announce a Sunday starter, if we go Spivey, Groves, and then maybe Jake Hunter. I know Zach Root, I believe, is going to get the start and get the ball in Raleigh at Doak Field against the Wolfpack on Tuesday night. So that's something to keep an eye on. But that Wichita State rotation, hats off to them. I mean, the Pirates have been shut out once all year, and they shut us out twice. Had two complete games, excellent outings by a two-way player, Peyton Tolley, and then obviously Adler in game three on Sunday. And then Clark Candiotti, his performance in game two, very solid as well. And then the Shockers lineup, solid throughout, tremendous power. And I know a lot of folks didn't realize the potential they had and the talent they had coming into this series, because you look all 20-15, they're having a decent year, better than they've been the last couple, but still nothing great. But it was largely the pitching in the bullpen, and then some deficiencies on the defensive side where they were, even after the weekend, where they made several very good plays, and I'm not sure what they finished up with from an error standpoint. They may not have committed an E, but if they did, it wasn't probably more than one or two. They're still just 966, I believe, for the season. So they've had their defensive struggles and then also their woes on the back end of the bullpen. But and their lineup, like Coach Godwin said, is the real deal. It's Peyton Tolley, Brock Rodden, et cetera. Pretty solid 1-9 and nice blend of run and like a 53 bomb. But we can learn from. Let's move on and care of this state and get back on the right track. I fully expect that to happen and carry that into the weekend against Tulane because having lost two conference series now against Houston and Wichita State, the margin for error isn't extremely big as we're right here halfway through the conference schedule.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's, look, guess what? It happens. And I tell you, one of the things I was really happy with Bubba and had a chance to mention this to you all day. It's been a crazy day, to say the least. But how about the D1 baseball? We're 12th this week. We only dropped 5 spots. So that lets you know that if this was a really bad series that we lost, we would have lost way, way more. Don't you think?
To a degree, but I think dropping 5 spots from 7th to 12th in D1 baseball, that's more a reflection of what I already referenced, and that's the craziness that occurred, and something that Coach Godwin said in 20 years in the profession that he had never seen 6 top 12 teams get swept on the same weekend. So just tremendous parity, and if you don't play your best baseball, and we were certainly nowhere near our best baseball in Wichita, and Wichita certainly played probably pretty close to as well as they can play. And so when that happens, you take a quality club like the Shockers, 23-15 now, and Coach Godwin said out of the 4 conference series we've played that they're definitely the best team, even better than Houston. From top to bottom, when you look at their talent and everything they bring to the table. So, and then also he said that they would rank right up there with, the North Carolinas or NC States and some of the better competition we have seen on the season as a whole. So, and just a few bright spots on the weekend. Carter Cunningham, congratulations to Carter Cunningham. He is our PGXGloves.com Player of the Week. Carter went 5 out of 15, had a hit in all 4 games, something that he was probably the only to do. I know Justin Wilcoxon also had a decent week, or at least some big moments. I had the big 3-run home run against Charlotte, and we'll talk more about that big win over the 49ers. But Carter, like I said, 5 out of 15, his 4th home run of the season there early in that game against Charlotte, and now has a 6-game hit streak. And then also, although the Pirates starting pitching probably had their biggest struggles of the season against Wichita State, you did have some pretty good relief outings. You had Eric Ritchie pitched well. Jake Hunter had a good outing. So you did see some good things from guys in the bullpen that we'll certainly need to see moving forward. And another solid relief outing was of Winthrop transfer, Willie Lumpkin. So hopefully Lumpkin will continue to pitch that way down the stretch.
Yeah, no question. I think congratulations to Carter Cunningham for his success this week. It's been great. And again, Bubba, things happen. In fact, we can, I guess, do our comments from Brandon as he talks about NC State was swept and over the weekend. So NC State coming off a bad weekend too. They were swept by Clemson. And you know who the skipper is there in Clemson. So very happy for
cool.
Backish.
Yep, Eric Backish, Nick Schnabel. So, yeah. Congrats to them. They're playing better baseball, and they're right in the middle of their division. I believe 9-9 now in the ACC, and they have an RPI of 22. So if they play well down the stretch, their chances of making the road to Omaha in the NCAA tournament are very real with that kind of RPI. So they have a lot to play for here. In the last third of the season, or last 25% of the season.
I didn't know their RPI was that high. And Craig, our good friend. How are you, Craig? Appreciate you tuning in tonight. Craig was talking about we got our butts whooped, and guess what? It happens. No excuses. We learn, move on, and improve. Our team is solid and resilient. Craig, spot on. Appreciate you very much. And by the way, Bubba, Pirate Radio Clipper calls Johnny Robertson Johnny Stats. So not Johnny Football, but Johnny Stats. So from now on, we'll JR, you're Johnny Stats. We appreciate you very much. And he said Wichita State pitchers had 19 innings where they threw 14 or less pitches, including a 5-pitch inning, 2 7-pitch innings, and 2 8-pitch innings. Unbelievable, Johnny.
Yeah.
You and Bubba are amazing with stats. That's just mind-boggling when you think about how easy they had it.
Yeah, and kind of along those lines, a very similar stat. The Pirates this weekend at 27 at-bats, of course, over the 3 games. And in 15 of those 27 at-bats, we sent the minimum to the plate. So meaning either that we were retired 3 up, 3 down, or, you know, somebody reached base and then somebody hit into a double play. So we only sent the minimum, or we sent the minimum to the plate in 15 out of our 27 at-bats, which is obviously way too frequent. And then
– how about – I've got one stat for you, Bubba, off the top of my head for you and Johnny. I believe I remember hearing for the weekend, as far as hits are concerned, it was 41 for Wichita and 14 for the Pirates.
Yeah, that's correct. We were out hit 41 to 14. 9 of our 14 hits came in game 2. But also, this is the fewest runs that we've scored in a 3-game series in the Cliff Godwin era. That's how atypical of a weekend this was. The fewest we had scored in a 3-game series under Cliff. There were, I think,
3 runs.
Two occasions that we had scored 5. One was his first weekend as head coach against UVA way back in 2015. Wow. And another time came in the first time when we played UConn in 2017. And because that was obviously our traveling partner rather than Cincinnati back when UConn was in the league. So UConn really had our number that year in 6 games against the Huskies in the regular season in 2017. We only scored 12 runs. So this was comparable to that, but, you know, fewer runs put up this weekend. And the last time it was the fewest runs we'd scored in a 3-game series since way back in 2006, the first year of the Billy Godwin era, where we got outscored by Cal State Fullerton 21-1.
Wow.
Over 3 games out in Fullerton. And, of course, the Titans came to Clark LeClaire in 2007, and the Pirates returned the favor. Didn't shut them down quite as significantly as they did us, but we put up a broom and swept, I believe it was number 6, Cal State Fullerton in 2007.
Well, I tell you, it's one of those things yesterday, Bubba, that we were just – it was so miserable weekend. My son's team lost as far as baseball in Little League and having the 3 baseball losses and having a doubleheader, you know, on Saturday was tough, and we lose both of those. And, you know, it was such a close game. And then the 5th inning, when we'll talk about that, they broke it open yesterday. I just like, man, this is just tough. But the good news is, I was thinking about too, is the fact that I think it's good. Instead of like football where you have to wait a whole week, we wait a couple days and we have a chance to correct that. And it's a competitive bubble. You want to go ahead and – I know you can't do that in football, obviously. But as far as baseball is concerned, it's good to be able to get back on the field and do something about it instead of having to wait a whole week and think about it.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the positives of baseball versus, as you said, football, where you're going to have to at least wait 5 days, if not a full week. But, hey, Yeah, like you're saying, as a competitor, I mean, that's what you want, just to get back and get that bad taste out of your mouth and get in the win column. And hopefully we'll find a way to do that tomorrow night at Doak Field against NC State. But we'll go back to that Charlotte game. Pirates jumped on the Niners early. Carter Cunningham, the second batter of the game, hit an absolute shot, oppo shot to the left center gap that cleared the seating there. It had to be every bit of about 400 feet to the opposite field. And got the game off on the right foot. And then with a game tied 1-1, there in the, I want to say it was the fourth inning, you had the big three-run, two-out home run by Justin Wilcox into right center. And then the following inning, you had a big two-run, two-out single, also two strikes. When Barini delivered that one back through the box to go up 6-1, and the Pirates went on to the 6-2 win. Danny Beal was excellent in relief, and with that relief outing, earned the victory, and as a result, was awarded our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week. So congratulations to Pirate right-hander Danny Beal. Three innings of shutout baseball, surrendering just one hit, six strikeouts, no walks, and now is 3-1 on the season. So congratulations to Danny Beal.
Great job by Danny, and he was dealing certainly on Wednesday in Charlotte. And Bubba, I was really proud, by the way, you and a lot of the folks. I know Coach O talked about it on the radio 94.3 The Game about how we've had games in Kannapolis. And now the game in Charlotte, downtown at Truist Field, where you guys were in the western part of the state, were able to see a game relatively close to your house versus having to come all the way to Greenville or go to the Triangle or different places. That was actually great for you guys.
Yeah, Pirate Nation showed up big on both of those occasions, March 7th against Queens, and then obviously last Wednesday, April 19th, against the Charlotte 49ers. In what was considered to be a home game for Charlotte, not a neutral site. Obviously, just 20 minutes or so down the road from the campus, not even. But 4,786 was the announced attendance. That it surprised me. I mean, that's an excellent crowd. But they say the ballpark seats 10,000 or 10,500. There's no way there were 5,500 empty seats. So I was expecting the announced attendance to probably be
like
at least about six or something. So interesting there. But, if there was 4,786, I'd say, at least about, at least 60%+ of that were Pirates. So it was an unbelievable turnout by Pirate Nation. And, and as I mentioned, a big two-out hitting from Wilcoxon and Barini that largely did the damage. We had, I think, six runs on nine hits in the game, and that was a huge win because Charlotte was teetering right there, I think just over 50 in the RPI. So very nice resume win over the 49ers. Could be, proved to be a quad one win before the end of the season. And and then I mentioned Wilcoxon also had some quality at bats out at Wichita, as did Carter. But it was obviously largely struggles as I know Jacob Starling and then Josh Moreland. I'm trying to remember if it was a combined 0 for 20. Just hit the ball at people. I know Moreland hit one that looked like it was going to be a double down the right field line. An excellent backhanded stop by the Wichita State first baseman. So it was just one of those weekends and we'll bounce back from it. Kind of taking a look at the American standings. Conference with those 8-4 marks. Pirates 7-5 in third. South Florida 6-6. And then you have UCF, Cincinnati, Tulane at 5-7, and Memphis in the cellar at 4-8. But you know, with 12 games remaining in conference play, this league is very much up for grabs to about anyone. But it seems as though, especially with Wichita State and Houston having the tiebreaker against the Pirates, that's the primary competition. But South Florida is still ahead on the ECU schedule. And then, go ahead.
I was going to mention that also keep in mind we have Cincinnati, Tulane will be this weekend, but we have the bottom three teams. We're going to see those folks coming up here still to come. So, yes, it's tough to that, but you have Tulane, Cincinnati, Memphis. When you have those coming up, then that gives you hope that you can rattle off. That would be great if we could sweep all those, all three of those series. But if not, you feel like you could get a lot of wins there.
Yeah. In order to, you know, accomplish what we intend on accomplishing, that's going to have to be the case. And you see that those midweek opportunities beginning tomorrow night against the Wolfpack, they're in top 30 RPI. And then the Tar Heels are still a top 50 RPI, but their stock has really fallen.
Yeah.
And both of those clubs right now, they would probably be in the tournament, definitely NC State. And then North Carolina would probably be they'd probably be in, but they both have some work to do. And probably hosting is, you know, unless they do something like we did last season or, you know, really, really finish strong, not necessarily produce a 20-game win streak. But in order to get back into the hosting picture, I'd say that's probably sailed for the Tar Heels. And then NC State, certainly a lot to do for them as well. But Wake Forest is really they're really dominating in the ACC, and I think they have probably about a 4 or 5 game lead in their side, and it looks like they could you know, win that conference by decisive margin, which would be impressive. But to your point, yeah, there you see Tulane and Cincinnati with RPIs 198 and 192. So you don't have to sweep them both, but you really need to try to win 5 out of 6, and because it's just hard to, you know, produce sweep after sweep. But
man, if you could though, gosh, those two midweeks, just to not, I know, call me greedy, but somehow we went on a 9-game winning streak, somehow if you could go on an 8-game winning streak, let's say, winning the next 2 weeks, man, that will put you in a much, much better shape. Stating the obvious there, but we got to get it done. Did you see Kyle's comment on YouTube?
Yeah.
He said last week, shocking, shocking. Get it? Shocking. Yes, sir. It was definitely shocking to say the least. And then Johnny Robertson says, completely useless stat. This is really cool. That's why we love Johnny Stats, JR, so much. The 2023 Pirates have never lost when any of the following things have happened. When Wilcoxon, Hoove, or Clunch have an RBI, the Pirates are 22-0. When either Wilcoxon, Brainy, Hoove, Amack, Cunningham, or Clunch hit a home run, the Pirates are 20-0. And when the Pirates score in the second inning, they are 10-0. So, Johnny, thank you. I don't think that's useless. I think that's actually useful because that tells you when those things happen, we win. So, JR says shocking, I tell you. Yeah, it was very shocking, my friend. It was great to have that series over. And now the good news is, thankfully, we have a lot more games ahead. And then, Bubba, I know you want to talk about our resume.
Yeah. WarrenNolan.com is, give credit to them. That's where we retrieve these graphics. So you have the Pirates, obviously 29-11 overall, 24-2 at Clark LeClaire. But there you see, noted by the red arrows for our viewers, 5-8 road record, and then 7-5 within the league. So that's something we won't go on about it, because we discussed it earlier in the show, and Coach Godwin just said that Pirates have to bring more energy when they're on the road, period, but especially in those venues, where there's not much of an atmosphere. And it's not an excuse. I mean, it's not taking anything away from Wichita State. It's just, it's just a fact that we what we did in those two weekends at Houston and at Wichita State wasn't Pirate baseball, and it's not what Coach Godwin, this staff, and this program over the last several years have produced, series in, series out, and stuff happens. But and there's no doubt we'll get it fixed. Johnny Gardner chiming in saying, "We never looked in sync, no excuses." What will help us the most going forward is we saw having a target on our back is like when a team is really dialed in, expect us to play well down the stretch. I agree. And like Coach Godwin said, whether it's at Clark LeClaire or on the road in a regional or super regional, then obviously you're going to have to play with the target on your back. You're going to have to produce in those key moments in competitive games. And by and large, this team's done that because they're 29-11. We just haven't done it on the road like we did a season ago.
No question. And Bubba, I don't know. I will say that I know that the team is always prepared, but the one thing you find out is somebody asked me today if I thought, Wichita State was that good, Dave, were they that good? I said, look, I think that Wichita State is better than we thought. They played out of their mind, and we didn't play very well. So when you have that scenario, if you don't show up every day and give it everything you have, no excuses, but they didn't look like the team that we know that they are, a super regional team at the very least. And I'll stick by that.
Yep. And, taking a look at the American scoreboard, we went over the standings. And, the Shockers this weekend, last week, in addition to the sweep of the Pirates, 10-4 winners in Manhattan over Kansas State, and the Wildcats are having a solid season. So that was a good midweek win over an in-state rival. And tomorrow they will be in Stillwater taking on Oklahoma State at their beautiful ballpark. And then they have Kansas coming to Wichita on Wednesday, and then Memphis coming to Wichita this weekend. So 5-game week for the Shockers. We'll see how they handle the success. And two Big 12 teams midweek, and then a series that they should certainly win and probably sweep against Memphis. And here's hoping the Tigers have something for them and find a way to win a game or maybe even more on the weekend. Houston, the Cougs, were 3-1 last week, took 2 out of 3 from Memphis. So, there you see the Tigers won the middle game 9-3, with Houston winning 8-0 and 11-1 blowouts, at least the final margin. I'm not sure, how those games unfolded, but decisive wins for the Cougs in games 1 and 3. after a midweek win over Houston Christian 13-7. This week they have Lamar and travel to UCF. So maybe the Knights can win a game or two, at least in that series. You have South Florida. I mentioned the Bulls are 500 in the league, 6-6 at the midway point. They dropped 2 out of 3 to UCF, losing 6-4, winning 14-8, and then getting run ruled 11-1 in 8 innings in the series finale. And they had dropped a 10-0 7 inning run rule decision to North Florida last Tuesday. And this week they have Florida Gulf Coast coming to Tampa, and then Cincinnati will be in Tampa for a 3-game series on the weekend, obviously. Then you have UCF, the Knights, as I mentioned, took 2 out of 3 from South Florida, had a midweek win over Stetson, and they have Houston coming to town. The Bearcats, they took 2 out of 3 from Tulane last weekend, also lost a close game to a very good Indiana team that the Pirates throttled 17-4. Cincinnati lost 11-9, and the Hoosiers are now 30-11. Tulane, as I had already mentioned, they had dropped 2 out of 3 at Cincinnati. They had won a midweek game against UNO, University of New Orleans. This week, they have a very, very challenging schedule in addition to coming to Clark LeClaire, with the Pirates looking to bounce back. They have Southern Miss out of the Sun Belt coming to Greer Field at Turchin Stadium. And then we talked about Memphis and, you know, how they had dropped 2 out of 3 to Houston last week. This week, in addition to the series at Wichita State, they have a midweek game against UT Martin.
Yeah. So it's going to be a big, that's the big time. It's crunch time now as we're over halfway through the American Conference season. And let's see if we can bring in Kyle from LaGrange Barber, who is joining us now. Better late than never. What's up, bro? I don't know if he can hear us or not. Can you hear us, Kyle? We're not, if you're saying anything, we're not hearing you, unfortunately. but we'll maybe you can sign back out and sign back in and come back to us. But unfortunately, we don't hear Kyle right. Bubba, do you hear Kyle?
No, I'm not able to hear Kyle either. So, Kyle, if you hear us, sign out and sign back in. And we'll try to bring you into the show once again as we have a few minutes left on this edition of Extra Innings. While we're trying to bring Kyle back in, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just talking. I was going to say we appreciate. I was going to mention Next Level Training Center again, nextleveltc.com. Could give them a call 252-756-NEXT. It's my son Alexander. We're going to try to get him if we can, Bubba. It's just like so much going on academically with school, obviously, and then with he's playing baseball and travel basketball at the same time. But I want to give a shout out to Next Level because they do a great job. If your kids learning need to learn how to pitch, or maybe you're learning to trying to get an edge on maybe some techniques as far as hitting the ball better, whatever, then give them a call 252-756-NEXT. As my son Alexander is taking up pitching, so that's what we're going to use Next Level for this summer. And also, Bob, I want to give a shout-out to Mark Menikazi. Kaz does such a fantastic job with pgxgloves.com. My kids, I bought them 2 pairs each for this season, and they're just going nuts over. They love the PGX gloves, so for their batting gloves, by the way, Bubba.
Yeah, appreciate Kaz. I look forward to having him back on the show soon to talk some baseball, you know, what's going on in his life, who he's managing this year, and then also talk a little Pirate baseball because he certainly keeps up with what's going on with the Pirates. But, appreciate Kaz, as you said, promo code ECU for 25% off. You know, custom batting gloves, custom baseball gloves, football gloves, golf gloves, other swag and apparel. Make sure you enter, once again, ECU at checkout in the promo code for 25% off your entire order.
No doubt. Appreciate, again, Kaz's support of the program. But, man, I'm telling you, if you're a baseball person, if you have maybe kids or grandkids in baseball, pgxgloves.com is the real deal. I tell you what, Bubba, I'm really excited about this weekend because this week we're going to have a chance to do something special. And Bubba, I'm hearing a lot of people tell me they're lying, which I don't think they are, but I really, really think that we have a good chance tomorrow night and a lot of people going to the baseball game.
Yeah, obviously a very tough ticket. And capacity there at Doak Field isn't what it is at Clark LeClaire. And, they say what you will, not surprisingly, through the years, that's become a tougher and tougher ticket. You know, obviously the great demand drives up the price. And,
oh, yeah.
And those tickets, depending where you are in the ballpark, you know, the face value, anywhere from, $25 or $30 to probably $45 or $50. So, just a reflection of the rivalry. And yes, it is a rivalry and also, the ballpark, but, something else, speaking of money, huge thank you is in order for a great pirate or great pirates and great pirate family, Van and Jennifer Isley of Raleigh. He's originally a native of Burlington, but that family, the Van and Jennifer Isley family, made the largest single gift in the history of East Carolina Athletics, $5 million to the Pirates Unite Capital campaign. And I believe I hadn't had a chance to read all of the article yet. You said $2.5 million to football and $2.5 million to the baseball ops building.
Yeah, and so you and I were both, and I'm glad I was right on that. The last I'd heard a month or so ago for baseball, let's take that first, is that was over $3 million. It was about halfway there. So if you had $2.5 million to, you're looking at about $5.5 million, maybe $6 million, and it's only a $7 million. I'm saying only, but compared to all the other projects, including the indoor practice facility, $7 million, we're really getting close to breaking ground. And we need people to step up. Well, I know that all our money is tight, but I've been working really hard, as you know, Bubba, behind the scenes. I've given so far $2,400 out of $2,500 that I pledged for my initial pledge for that. So for Pirates Unite, and I don't have a lot of money, but I'm trying really hard to put my money where my mouth is. As you know, Bubba, since I've known you, we talked about the importance of improving our facilities, and we have the Isleys, another great family. Appreciate, in fact, I know they're working on other donors that I think we've got some other, I'll just say I don't know who it is, but they're working on a few more gifts, and I think that'll put us really, really close to the indoor practice facility. And I do know from the folks in the Pirate Club, they told me a couple months ago, the plan is, Bubba, to have the money raised by the end of this year in December. What a great Christmas gift for the Pirates as far as Pirate Nation to have the indoor practice facility money and the baseball project where you have that, where the money's raised, and then you can go ahead and break ground in 2024.
Yep, long overdue with the IPF and Anthony Gardner in the comments section. Obviously within the last couple weeks, and we had news on Pepper Jr. Big ad there, and it's a, I guess, a big ad in Cullen, Richard.
Okay, we lost Bo having some technical difficulties. Now he'll join back in, but great job by Coach Schwartz. We've always been singing his praises, but especially when it comes to recruiting, getting a big today, a 6'11". Johnny Gardner. Johnny, I know that it was a 6'11 dude. He was originally from, committed to, I should say, Elizabeth City, East Tennessee State. I'm sorry. I know that off the top of my head, and I don't know, I can't remember his name, so forgive me, but I'm sure Johnny will remember that, and will, I'm sure, type that for me, but that's going to be a great, great 6'11", another, definitely having a big will be extremely helpful, and obviously in our league, the guard play and certainly the wings, one through three or four is very big, but as far as when I say big, important when it comes to the three ball. There is Callum. Is that Callum Richard? Johnny Gardner says, I believe that's right. Callum Richard is his name. Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate you so much, bro. It's great to have a lot of great people in Pirate Nation to help you out. And I've always said since we've done the show that thankfully for you guys, the listeners are a lot smarter than I am. I'll speak for myself. And so we lean on you guys. We appreciate that very much. And we try to be as interactive as we can with this show. And I will just tell you that right near me right now, we got a lot of cool stuff that we're going to be bringing you in the fall that we're working on right now. And we'll make those announcements when it gets closer to time. But appreciate everybody's support of the program. And we're waiting for Bubba to come back in. I know he went through a bad area, obviously, there. But if you have some more questions or comments that you want to mention here on Facebook Live or certainly on YouTube, then go ahead and put it up there. And we'll, if you have anything that you want to add, maybe about this week, do you think we're going to beat the Pirates? Go to Raleigh. Will they beat the Wolfpack tomorrow night? That's a question we could put up there. And maybe you want to predict a score. And then how about this weekend? I think for sure we're going to do very, very well. There he is. Welcome back to Bubba. As we talked about Bubba, the big that we got the commitment from Johnny Gardner told me Callum Richard from the, it was the East Tennessee State. Go ahead.
He had previously, I think, been committed to the Bucks. But what was the last thing you heard? I did not realize that I had dropped. And so I'd been talking for who knows how long with no one hearing what I was saying.
I know you were saying it was very difficult to hear for the last 30 seconds or more. I know you were talking about basketball and maybe that's, but I couldn't make out.
Yeah, I just, what I had said is, I said a couple weeks ago, you know, the commitment from Bobby Pettiford Jr. Right. And then obviously prior to that, to Corey Faison, and I think I've heard some people say Takari, so we'll seek some clarification there as to whether it's to Corey or Takari. But young man Faison out of Goldsboro High School, you know, very decorated high school career. 1,500, 1,600 points at least. You know, average basically, I think I want to say 25 or 26 points and like 15 boards over the last two high school seasons. So his athleticism jumps out, and you see some tremendous dunking ability from him, and really was next year and throughout his career with the Pirates. But Callum Richard, what I was saying about him, where Sir Malonga is a little raw on the offensive end, not quite polished, and he's going to probably contribute more early on the defensive end and glass. Callum Richard, really loved what I saw from him in terms of footwork, his ability to finish with both hands around the basket. And then also, not only could he finish to both ends around the basket and showed nice footwork, he can knock down.
All right. We unfortunately lost Bubba again. It's just like the Pirates had trouble this weekend. We're having trouble. We're doing well into the end of the show, but we're trying really hard. Again, thank you so much for everybody. We'll wait for Bubba to come back here in just a second. But all the support of the program over 5 years. By the way, I want to remind people while we have the top of the screen about our social media, I want to remind folks to make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok as well. But appreciate that. Like our Facebook page, but appreciate the support of the program. Glad to have Bubba back. And Bubba, I was talking about to like our Facebook. And our YouTube channel is really, really growing thanks to Bubba. And I appreciate that so much. A lot of shorts you're putting up there. And certain people we know handing out some hot dogs to left fielders. Like last the weekend before last. Appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, we've eclipsed 800 subscribers. And as you mentioned, over the last week and a half, we started posting more shorts in addition to our usual video content. So definitely subscribe and click that notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device when we go live or post new content. You know, make sure you get your season tickets. You know, as of right at a week and a half ago, we were a little over 12,000, so more than 75% of the way to our goal of 16,000. Home schedule, obviously beginning with the Marshall Thundering Herd in week two. So it's nice to get that rivalry resumed. Then a couple weeks later, Gardner-Webb, and then in league play, you have SMU, Charlotte, and Tulane and Tulsa. And Dave, very quickly before we wrap things up, on a video that I wanted to share with our viewers. This was on the Fox affiliate in Houston, Fox 26.
Oh yeah,
and you know, hats off to Parker Byrd and that family, you know, everything they've been through. Parker Byrd had the opportunity to meet his hero and throw out the first pitch for the Houston Astros game. And we'll go to that that interview, or not interview, but video from Fox 26 in Houston with Parker Byrd right now.
And the pitch. And it's on the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, Parker Byrd.
North Carolina's top-rated high school middle infielder in 2022 before a boating accident in July cost him his right leg but didn't cost him his dreams. He committed to play for East Carolina when he was in the ninth grade.
Prosthetic to my advantage instead of my disadvantage. I mean, every day is a process, just learning new things I can do with it. Learning how to run now, so that's a whole new experience.
I got his prosthetic leg through a grant from the Challenged Athletes Foundation, which cost about $15,000.
We've raised $159 million in our first 30 years and sent out over 44,000 grants to athletes in 73 countries, all 50 states, and more importantly, in 105 different sports.
Teams are going to be able to think he would survive. Like, when they came to see him 3 or 4 days later, they came to see him because they assumed he would die in the field.
Just talking to him and seeing how motivated he is, and he believes in himself. I believe in him. I think it's awesome, and I can't wait to watch him go and do it and accomplish his goal.
It's great. You bet I could even imagine.
He's one of the best in the game. I mean, he's talked about his swing to me and what he does in drills, and I just kind of see it in myself as well. And just
I can't believe it.
Him coming over here acknowledging me is, I mean, I'm just a kid from a little old place called Warrenburg, North Carolina. He's over here
Wow, great stuff. And, you know, Bubba, this is going to be such a great story because I truly believe that the Parker Bird and his family has been so, the word that comes to me here at 11, or after 4 minutes after 11 Eastern, is resilient. The resiliency of this family has been amazing. And I tell you what, it's been great because he still has all his eligibility left, I believe, off the top of my head, because he's not taking full-time classes right now at the wish of his father. So this kid right now could really, you know, some people, I would say I would be, you know, rooting really hard for him. But this kid really makes you believe that he's going to be taking the field, and he's still very much part of this team for East Carolina.
Yeah, you're correct. He is a part-time student, so that clock doesn't start ticking on his eligibility. So a smart move there, and, you know, really, really look forward to the day where he trots out onto the field or, you know, steps into the batter's box at Clark LeClair Stadium.
Absolutely.
There'll be a lot of eyeball sweat when that day arrives.
And I tell you what, we always, on this program, you'll never hear us say anything negative about Coach Cliff Godwin. But I work at the hospital. I know firsthand that he was my memory serves me right, he was the first person in the ED to get there even before his family did, because obviously he's so close in proximity to the hospital, being living in Greenville, working in Greenville. And he was with, I didn't bother them, but numerous times, even with COVID restrictions, they met right outside the hospital. And Coach was very uplifting to him. And so I just want to give a shout out to Coach Godwin. I know we did way back when, but things like that, when he could have easily just said, okay, you're off the team, or, you know, but they kept his scholarship for him. And Coach Godwin has been a true gentleman and a true man, and did the right thing by keeping the scholarship and being there for him every step of the way.
Yeah. Cliff Godwin has said that publicly in multiple interviews, that when Parker's father had reached out to him saying, hey, I need you to get to the hospital, because obviously you'll be there before his mother and I will. And, of course, Coach Godwin, you know, I'm trying to remember what was going on that weekend, but, you know, he immediately dropped it and headed to the hospital. And, you know, that began the a long road ahead, but throughout it all, you know, Parker Bird, with just his tremendous positive outlook, and obviously, we know we haven't seen, you know, his entire walk, but to remain positive the way he has, I mean, anybody that goes through something like that, you know, you're going to have your adversity and bad moments, obviously, but Parker Bird just he turned a very negative situation into a positive, and it's now going around to different organizations and speaking at breakfast and all those sorts of things to talk about and his experience and how he turned that situation into a positive, and he's gonna to use that to bring others to Christ in some cases, you know, and to get people to have the mindset you need to be able to face adversity and work through adversity whenever it hits, because it's going to be inevitable, not necessarily what he went through, but adversity in life is going to happen in some way, shape, or form. And when we have the positive attitude and mindset, we have a chance to use that as something to shape us into who we need to be, and you know, define the moment rather than it define us.
No question about it. Looking forward to seeing that day when he, like you said, Bubba, when he comes out on the field and or hits for the very first time, that's going to be, if that doesn't make SportsCenter, I don't know what would. But obviously there's more important things in life, bigger and more important than SportsCenter, but that's definitely going to make national news when that happens. And he's going to be a part of, I believe, some big time games and big teams coming up for the Pirates. Hey, Bubba, I want to remind everybody, before I forget, Absolute Empowerment Man Coach Jeff Connors. You want to talk about inspiration? He's had some great shows since he debuted on TSO, and appreciate his support of the program for sure. And he's had a lot of great guests. I know, Bubba, you've been behind the scenes with him for a long time. So appreciate all you do there for him. And then on Thursday night, Bubba, we've got a huge show as we're getting ready. It's hard to believe, man, it's come really fast this year. But the NFL draft is something that I look forward to every year. But this year particularly is going to be even more special. We have a lot of Pirates, Bubba. We could have three Pirates drafted this weekend.
We could. And, you know, going back to Coach Connor's content, okay. he has done an excellent job. And his most recent show tonight, if you did not catch it live, you can, of course, hear it on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere podcasts are found, be it Spotify, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Anchor, you name it. Actually, Anchor became a Spotify podcast there with a little bit of a merger. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so. So, but anyway, New York Giants longtime scout Steve Verderosa was his guest. That was a conversation that was recorded here in the last couple of days and debuted tonight. And very interesting conversation there. So check that one out. Right. And but yeah, to your point, this weekend, Keaton Mitchell, Holt Nailers, C.J. Johnson, obviously. Noah Henderson, Zay Winstead. I will not be surprised to see Keaton and Holton drafted.
Maybe Ryan Jones.
Yeah, Ryan Jones. I've seen a number of teams are very high on him and the versatility he brings to the table. So there should be, I bet you when it's all said and done, there will be at least five or six Pirates, be it draftees or as you know undrafted free agents that are going to get an NFL shot.
And Bubba, by the way, let's not forget obviously NFL is the number one goal, but you also have the CFL, XFL, and USFL as well. And so this is the biggest amount of Pirates we've ever had declare that in a good while. So we could the Pirates, the point I'm trying to make is the Pirates, these group of guys we have, a large group, they're going to go somewhere.
No doubt. And like Coach Houston said, it's just an indication of how the program has grown. Absolutely. since he took over from December 2018 to present. Although he didn't get drafted, and you had Jaquan McMillan that earned the and he was signed as a undrafted free agent with the Denver Broncos, and then he got the start in what the final game of the regular season, and had a really good game for Denver. So yeah, it's just a credit to Mike Houston and this coaching staff, you know, former and current coaches, and for the talent that they're bringing in the program. And there's no reason to think, just the way Cliff Godwin and Jeff Palumbo have stockpiled talent, and it can be a next man up rather than a rebuild. That thing is happening on the football side of things, where you can lose a Holt Nailers, a Keaton Mitchell, and some of the pieces we lost, C.J. Johnson, Zay Winstead, Noah Henderson, et cetera, and then still find a way to, whether it's with high school pieces or transfer portal pieces, to move on without, much of a drop off, or maybe even taking it to the to the next level.
No doubt. And you see Richard and Brandon's comments. Richard first said, history making draft question mark. I can't remember this many. You're right, Richard. In recent times, Bubba, I would say the record breaking year, would that be 83? We had a lot of guys.
Yeah, certainly not history making as far as all time, because that 83 team, that's not going to be broken this year. But if you do have what I mentioned, I named those individuals off, five, six, seven guys get NFL opportunities, whether it's being drafted or free agent deals. That would be the most since Skip Holt's final season, because that year you had obviously Linville, elected not to play 2010. He got drafted highly. And then you had C.J. Wilson. And then you had Scotty Robertson with a free agent deal. Yeah, Jay Ross with a free agent deal. And then 2009 season, you had, Matt Dodge as well. So you had probably five to seven guys in 07.
'09. Yeah, that's the last time that I remembered Bubba having multiple guys. I didn't remember, the numbers, the exact numbers or roundabouts, but that's the last time that I remembered having a respectable amount of players in there. But let's see here. We had Brandon's asking about the, have we seen the new NCAA rule for football? Clocks will no longer stop on first down. Yes, Brandon, we did. We'll talk more about that on Thursday with football, being this is extra innings, but yes, we want to acknowledge you for that. And it'll be interesting to see. I'll make this comment. John White said, yes, except with 2 minutes of the half to end of game, the game will be okay. Some people don't like it, but we'll get used to it. It's just change, and they're trying to speed up the game. And, man, some of those games are going 4 hours with all the commercials. And, Bubba, I know you said this off air. They're not going to cut down the number of commercials when they're paying the kind of money they are to the conferences. So,
yeah, they had
to cut somehow.
Yeah. It obviously boils down to a couple things. One, the TV money. You had to cut somewhere, and it wasn't going to be there, because that's what's, funding these large TV deals.
Yeah.
And then you have the safety aspect of things, which is, whether it's the concussion protocols or, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, although there have been some changes, but, you've heard people, do we need to take the kickoff out of the game and stuff like that? And I'm totally against that.
Me too.
But you see it in, I'm trying to remember if it's the XFL or USFL. I'm pretty sure it's the XFL. It was very, very unique. I'm trying to remember if they had the coverage team and then the return team. You had the return man in a typical position there about the goal line or 5 yard line. But then you had, as I mentioned, the coverage and return teams positioned what is about the 25 yard line. Did you see that? And so I do like that. If they are going to change something, I don't want it to change from the traditional kickoff, but at least do something like that where you have the threat. You don't, instead of having a kickoff team running down the field, from the other 30-yard line or 35-yard line, you shorten that up to 20 or 25 yards. So not as much, speed and momentum there. And obviously a decreased risk for one of those blocks that you typically see in that situation or a tackle that you see in that situation. So that's something to keep in mind. And as far as the time and rolling the clock after first downs, like the NFL does, as opposed to stopping it on first downs, something else to, although I get why they're doing it. It will be weird, just like some of their rule changes and that you've grown accustomed to after a few years. Keep in mind, over the last several years, you know, how many more snaps are being played? It used to be that the average number of snaps in a game was probably, you know, more like 60 or 70, sometimes maybe even less than that. But now you have teams snapping the football 85 to 100 times, sometimes maybe even 105 times or something. So, you know, playing 15, 20, 25 more snaps a football game, that's something to that was obviously, you know, on the mind of those decision makers and everyone from a safe and healthy safety and health standpoint.
Right.
So that's also a factor in addition to you know, just having to cut somewhere.
No doubt. And again, it'll be, I don't think it's going to take away from the game. It's going to be interesting, obviously, for us to get used to as we lose Bubba again, my good buddy. We're trying to wrap this up. Richard asked if I was drinking invisible drinks. I've had way too many Diet Dr. Thunders in the jungle, so we'll have to be careful. Bubba's coming back now. We'll have to be careful and get out of here. And don't worry, I have Bubba's going to drive me home. So those Diet Dr. Thunders, I won't get behind the wheel, Bubba, I promise. You can drive me home, right, Bubba? Here are my keys.
Yeah. But yeah, appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. A late edition of Extra Innings. A day later than usual. Normally it's Sunday night. Life happened, and I'm unable to do the show last night, but better late than never. I appreciate the viewers we've had, you know, pretty much, you know, 10 to 15 live viewers despite the very late start. And we appreciate all you loyal viewers and listeners tuning in and chiming in throughout the last hour plus. So make sure you get those ECU football season tickets. ECUPirates.com, 1-800-ECU to guarantee your seat and you know, support the program.
Two quick things I have is don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and our like our Facebook page. And also want to remind you to join the Pirate Club. And you can do that 252-737-4540. And talk to them about Pirates Unite. Again, shout out to the Isleys for giving a $5 million donation today. Half of it goes to the indoor practice facility, half to baseball, the expansion project. And so we're really, really close now to baseball being funded, and we're going to by the end of the year we'll have obviously the indoor practice facility. That's going to be a done deal. I will stay positive. Give them a call and say I want to donate. 252-737-4540. And John White had a quick question there, Bubba. A quick question: anybody going to Charlotte for the NFL draft party at the stadium? I know I won't be going. We've got our show on Thursday, and I live 4 hours from Charlotte, so I won't be going, John. But Bubba, I don't think you'll be going because you'll
no. Be- yeah, Riley has a baseball game 6 o'clock on Thursday. John, if you would, you know, put the information or you know, tell us where we can find that. Obviously, I'm sure it's on Carolina Panthers or at Panthers on Twitter, on the official Twitter account. Are obviously the Carolina Panthers website. So, not sure exactly what time that's starting there at Bank of America Stadium. But if Riley did not have a game, yeah, that would be interesting to attend. So, I'm guessing, I know Tony Dunn in the Greenville area and does the Carolina Cat Chronicles on podcasts. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll be in attendance on Thursday night.
Thank you, John, for bringing that up. I didn't even thought about that, but there's going to be a lot of great parties, even maybe some watch parties around America, too. Those of us that are – it starts at 6:30, you said, on Thursday night, so a lot of fun. If you're in the Charlotte area, I'll text some of my Charlotte friends to like stuff like that for sure. All right, Bubba, thank you so much. Appreciate you for all your hard work for Extra Innings. And you can, again, like our Facebook page or – you can go on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll get out of here. In fact, good luck to the Pirates tomorrow. as they'll be taking on the Wolfpack at 6 o'clock. A lot of purple and gold there at Doak Field. And then on this weekend, come by and support the Pirates right here as you see me in the jungle. Those that are watching, the Pirates are taking on Tulane. We want to get that place rocking and 3 wins this weekend, but it all starts tomorrow night. Good night, everybody. And as always, I want to remind you to go Pirates.
Everyone, I copy that. Everybody gonna see us go bananas. Scream loud, baby, don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get it all, get the wave going. Let the hurricane y'all make us.